Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
April 18th, 2006, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, compelling compositions. Well, welcome back to another show. I've got lots to talk about today, as you can imagine. I'm going to get back to buttons and dials and looking at the camera, mainly because this has a lot to do with this month's photo assignment, which is vertical. And the reason why is that I've been sort of thinking about this assignment, and even though I'm starting to get submissions now, it had started a little slower. And of course, you know, a big part of that could be that, you know, a lot of you just didn't have stuff lying around the house that fit the assignment. So you had to go out and shoot something, which really isn't such a bad thing because it is a photo assignment, not a photo archive retrieval project. But at any rate, so I was thinking and looking at the shots that are coming in, which I really like, by the way. And boy, this is really a good time to talk about composition. We've touched on it here and there in the past, and we'll certainly be talking about it again in the future. But it reminded me of one of my talks about composition that I really like, which has to do with, you know, a camera angle. And what happens when we're looking through our camera and taking pictures, I think it's just like just about any other activity that we do a lot, which is we develop habits. We get in ruts. We do the same thing kind of over and over. So we do that when we're taking pictures too. And a lot of times we don't really even think about it. And of course, a lot of times that's fine. If you're taking a snapshot of the kids, just because they're doing something cute, it's okay if you just take it from a standard angle. A lot of times, you don't even have time to really work a shot. Now, with photo assignment, this is a little different, though, because, you know, you do have some time to work the shot, and especially if you're shooting something called vertical, you know, some sort of interpretation of that, chances are that, you know, you have a little time to work the subject. And often working the subject is exactly what composition is about. Now, I'm going to review sort of my basic approach to picture taking, which I've talked about before, and then I'm going to kind of fold in a little bit more compositional stuff. So the basic thing is that when you see a shot, whether it's taking a picture of something that isn't moving or something that's dynamic, the first thing that you want to do is take the shot, right? Right away, take a frame. Make sure that you get some sort of shot if it's something interesting, if it's something worth capturing. Now, once you have the shot, then you go into the next phase, which I call working the shot. Okay. For instance, in wildlife photography, what I do is I take the first shot and then I try to get a little closer. I mean, that's always the thing, right? Try to get a little bit closer and take another shot and take another shot. And I keep getting closer until I feel my subject is uncomfortable with the range. And your subjects will let you know. They'll let you know when you're getting too close. And then it's time to stop. Because our job is to make interesting pictures, not to harass people and wildlife out in the world. Okay, so you do want to develop that sensitivity that when you're close enough, stop. When you're close enough for the subject, stop. Take a few more shots if you can, and then back away and let the subject go about its business. Now, if it's something that is, you know, more stationary, architecture or something like that, then you don't really have to worry about that part of it. Okay. But the phenomenon still applies, which is a lot of times we'll see something interesting, a building, a sign, some sort of thing like that. And we'll take a shot, and then we'll just move on, right, and start looking for the next shot without really working the shot that we were initially attracted to. And one of the things that you can do to work a shot, I'm going to talk about really working on two planes, okay? The first is walking around the shot. Okay, so you see the angle that you like and you take a picture. And then walk to the left or right and see how it looks from a different angle. Now, a lot of times what I like to do is walk completely around the subject if possible. Not so much taking pictures as I go, but just getting to know it, looking at the different angles, looking how the light reflects differently off it when I'm standing in a different position and things like that. Then, once I've sort of done the tour there, then I'll go back to a couple of the angles that I like and take a few pictures. Okay, so right away now, you have done more than what a lot of people are willing to do to get a good shot. And I have to tell you, a lot of times, the best shot isn't that first angle that I thought it would be. A lot of times, the best shot ends up being, you know, 3, 4, 6 frames into the sequence, usually when I got up and walked around a little bit. This is why car photography is a good thing in the sense that it does get you out into the world and taking pictures, and you see something interesting and you roll down your window and you take a shot, and a lot of times you'll get some very good shots. It's a bad thing in the sense that I think we get too comfortable in our cars, and we don't ever get out, right? We never get out of the car. And probably there are more shots and probably more interesting shots that are waiting for us outside of the car seat if we would just open the door, walk out there a little bit, and maybe work the subject a little bit more. So the first compositional thing that I want to touch on has to do with just really changing your position. Walking around the subject, getting out of the car, taking that first shot, and then going for more. This is very important, and it will alone improve your photography. Now let's work the other plane. That was sort of the sideways. Okay, now let's work up and down. And I have a section in Digital Photography Pocket Guide 3rd Edition, which is the current edition for that book that I have out, one of the most popular books I've ever worked on. And it's called Go High, Go Low. Go High, Go Low. This is something that I think, you know, when we're talking about battling old habits, Go High, Go Low strikes right at the heart of that. Because, you know, one of the things that we learn along the way with photography is to use, you know, good camera holding technique, right? And a lot of times that technique involves, you know, bringing our elbows in close to our chest, right? And holding the camera very steadily and maybe even pushing the camera up against our nose and then gently squeezing the shutter. That is good photographic technique, no doubt about it. Your shots will be sharper if you use a very steadying holding position like that more often than not. The problem with that is, though, we get in the habit of always kind of shooting from the same angle, right? Which is kind of this elbows in against the chest, bottom slightly pushed out, kind of hunched over sort of look. Good shots, they're nice and sharp, but they can be boring, right? Because we're always, and especially if you're doing a slideshow or something, and especially where you got a whole bunch of shots and they're always taken from the same angle. So that's where this go high, go low thing comes in. Now, this is, I will have to say, this is a time when the people that don't have digital SLRs have a bit of an advantage compared to those who do. And we'll start with going low, and right away you'll see. The problem with digital SLRs sometimes when it comes to composition is that you're always holding the camera the same way, right? You're looking through the viewfinder, which, you know, looks through the lens. Terrific, right? Your nice optical viewfinder. I mean, it's really probably the most pleasurable experience in photography is looking through a quality digital SLR. Okay, but when it comes to composition, then that tends to limit our up and down range. And I'll give you an example. If you have a Digicam, right, a non SLR camera, a lot of times those will have a flip-out screen. I love these things, these flip-out screens, where the viewfinder actually comes out away from the body and rotates up or down. It's very the idea came from, of course, digital camcorders, where they had these wonderful, you know, LCD viewfinders that would rotate all around. What you can do with those, of course, is that you can, for instance, going low, you can literally set the camera on the ground, right? And then rotate the viewfinder so that you can see the image and just be sort of comfortably there on your hands and knees looking down into this thing, composing some pretty wild shots. Now, if you had to do that, if you wanted that same angle with a digital SLR, you actually have to get on your belly, right? You have to get on your belly looking down, which you might not always want to do, especially if the camera is sitting on asphalt, if it's sitting on, you know, grass, whatever. You may not want to subject your white shirt, your beautiful white shirt that you just washed and pressed, and no way you want to, you know, get it all stained up just for a shot that may turn out well. Okay. But if you have a Digicam, something that with a rotating viewfinder, this is much easier. And this is where I think sometimes the more compact cameras really inspire creativity. I think people also feel more free with a compact camera to hold it with one hand and hold it up and point it back and take a shot and back at you and do all that kind of stuff, where for some reason when we hold a digital SLR, we get more serious. We get more serious. And, you know, there's the weight of it. There, you know, there's the kind of the standard technique for using it. You know, there's all sorts of reasons why this may happen. It costs more, right? So you don't want to be, you know, holding it out there with one hand where you might drop it, because, you know, the lens alone is worth more than the cost of your Digicam. So sometimes our digital SLRs actually get in the way of creative shots. So another compositional tip is, in addition to your digital SLR, you might want to bring your little compact camera, and especially if your compact camera has a rotating LCD. I have a couple of these cameras that have them. I have an Olympus, which I think is C5050, I believe, which the Olympus interpretation of this, at least when they made the 5050, was a little weird. Because the viewfinder kind of angles up on a hinge, right? So you can angle it up, which is really great for putting it on the ground, because you can look right down into it. And you can hold it over your head, which I'm going to talk about in a second, but it doesn't angle back quite as well. The cameras that I really like that do this, I have a Canon G2, and it's a 4-megapixel camera. But the swing out viewfinder on that thing is just fabulous. It's really, really cool. And I also have my little Casio 5-megapixel EXP505, which is just the coolest little camera in the world. You may have heard me talk about it before. 5-megapixel camera that also shoots MPEG-4 movies. In fact, yes, I did talk about it way back, a long time ago, in one of the earlier podcasts. Long time ago, October, right? We're in the digital world. October of 2005 was like forever, right? Oh yeah, that was way back in, you know, podcast number 3, something like that. I remember those days. So I have talked about the Casio, but it's also for still photography. It really inspires creativity because it's really light, and it has this fabulous 2-inch swing out LCD viewfinder. So now what happens, you can put it on the ground, swing the viewfinder up, right? Or you can go high, which is you can hold the camera up over your head, right? Angle the viewfinder back down so you can look into it and take a shot like that. Now, I'm a pretty tall guy. Anyone of you that have ever met me, I'm about 6'7". Which is, you know, really tall, which is, by the way, height is great for photography. People ask me this all the time when I'm shooting weddings. Wow, it must be really nice to be tall, because, you know, you have all these different angles. And of course, yes, because I can always, you know, I can always kind of squat down low, but, you know, no one wants to carry a ladder with them all the time for those high angles. So I already have some height, even when I'm holding the camera normally. Now imagine if I take these long arms of mine and I put that camera up over my head and I swing the viewfinder back down to look at it. It's almost like aerial photography, right? I mean, you know, it's a little freakish, but it's true. I mean, you know, here I am, you know, 6'7". I got arms that are another, whatever, 3 feet or so. No, maybe not 3 feet. I don't know. I got a pretty good reach, though. So, yeah, you know, so these long arms, I can hold it up over my head. I probably have about a 9 foot from top to bottom reach altogether, eight feet plus maybe. So imagine holding that camera up over my head. There's a pretty interesting shot there. Now start thinking about this thing and the whole range of what's possible. Okay, so you have up over your head, in my case, 8 feet, in a lot of people's case, so, you know, 6 or 7 feet, no problem, right? Down to the place where we normally hold the shot, which is, you know, at eye level, okay? Going all the way down to the ground, okay, and shooting upward. All right. Now, if we're thinking about a composition that we want to emphasize the theme vertical, okay, then a lot of times those low shots are really a great way to do it. And maybe I will stick a shot in this time. You know, I normally don't, and some of you have sort of, you know, kind of prodded me a little bit. Why don't you stick a shot in on the photo assignment too? Well, maybe I will this time. One of the shots that I have that makes me think of vertical, it was when I was in Tucson. Yeah, I think I do believe it was Tucson. And there's a missile or an ex-missile complex there run by the U.S. government. And I was actually able to get down at the lower level of a missile silo and look up at the missile. And, you know, I took a nice shot upward, and it was pretty dramatic. I like it a lot. And I've published it before. So I'll try to pull that out of the archives and stick that in the photo assignment page. But my point is that when you're thinking about vertical, a lot of times that low angle looking upward will emphasize, you know, the verticalness of a subject, and it's something really to think about. Okay, so let's back up a little bit here for a minute. I just want to review these couple angle things, and then I'm going to talk about one more compositional element. So if you have only a digital SLR, don't let it limit you in terms of how you shoot. You might have to get a little bit more athletic, which means that if you want to go high, that you'll have to maybe stand up on something, right? So you can do that because you can't hold, I mean, you can, I should take that back, because you can hold a digital SLR up over your head and, you know, do kind of a guess shot, a guess composition, where you sort of guess that you have the right angle. And since it is digital, you know, you can do a little experimenting there. So, yeah, you don't even the fact that you can't look into the LCD viewfinder while you're taking the shot, don't let that limit you from trying to do high angle shots. And by the same token, shooting low, you know, maybe you just have to carry a little pad around or something, or maybe your ground vest, right? You know, we've heard of photo, this will put a new twist on photo vest, right? Because we usually think of photo vests for keeping our, you know, our lenses and stuff in it while we walk. But now you can carry you can wear your photo vest so you can get down on your belly and take those shots looking upward. So if you have a digital SLR, don't let it limit you in terms of playing with angle for your shots. However, if you have a digital SLR and a Digicam, or you just have a Digicam, especially if you have one with a viewfinder that swings out, these things are fabulous. And start using it. Start taking advantage of this viewfinder, because this is a great compositional tool. You know, with your little Digicam, you can challenge people who have cameras far more expensive than you. You can challenge them with very compelling shots just by the fact that it's so easy for you to play with all these different angles. And of course, don't forget the angle where you turn the LCD viewfinder back all the way so that you can see yourself while you're holding the camera out and taking a shot back at yourself. I mean, we see it on the movies and stuff all the time, but quite honestly, these are fun shots. These are fun. You're somewhere. You're the classic example. You're at the Grand Canyon, right? Well, get a nice background. Hold that camera out, you know, at arm's length so it's pointing back at you or your sweetie. And then if you have the rotating viewfinder, turn it around so you can even compose it and take a couple shots. They're fun. You know, they're goofy, but they're fun. And I have done it. I've even published shots like that. So there you go. So we have going high. We have going low. We have walking around the subject. There's another one I want to tackle right here. And this is playing with the focal length of the lens itself. Now, if you put the camera on wide angle, if you have a Digicam, or if you put a wide angle lens on, if you're using a digital SLR, and you get really close to a subject, that's a lot different looking shot than if you put a zoom lens on it, a telephoto, or move it out to the telephoto setting, and you fill the frame that way. These are two completely different perspectives. So when you start working the combination of this, going high, going low, walking around, and then using different focal lengths, don't always use the same focal length. Put it all the way on the widest setting and get close. Or zoom it all the way out to the telephoto setting and fill the frame that way, where you would step back a little bit. And start working these different combinations. I think if you do that, and start comparing the shots to one another. So the workflow, right, could be something like this as you tackle an assignment. Start out taking the shot you normally would, the way you normally would. Okay. And make sure you get the exposure right and the composition right and all that stuff. Okay, so there is your baseline shot. Now, take it to the next step. Just for me, just because you've listened to this show and you're thinking about it. Now, take it to the next step and walk around the subject. Try to go high, try to go low, and change the focal lengths. So now you have another whole series of shots. Take them all home, put them on the computer, and look at them and compare the very first shot, the shot where you normally would have stopped, to all the other shots and see what you get. Okay. And let me know what you get or put it in the comments of this show. Say, you know what? Thanks. Thanks for the thought, Derek. I really appreciate it. But 9 out of 10 times, I really liked my original shot best. Okay. So that's fair enough. I would totally buy that. But I suspect there'll be some of you that go, you know, I'm glad I had the first shot because, you know, I didn't miss the shot by taking the shot right away. But then I got this really kind of wild shot about the, you know, eighth frame into it when I zoomed it all the way out to wide angle and I got down low. And I kind of like it too. And I showed it to my mom and she thinks it's kind of weird, but, you know, my friends thought that it was pretty interesting. And, you know, that's another thing too. You know, when you show a shot to somebody and you wait for their reaction, a lot of times, you know, even if you don't get the most positive reaction in the world, but you kind of get them sort of knitting their brows a little bit and looking at it and going, this is different. You know, well, that's not such a bad thing, even if they ultimately say, well, it's a little too weird for me. But that's okay. That's okay. I mean, you sort of engage them there for a minute, as opposed to just showing them the shot and going, oh, that's a nice shot, George. And then, you know, boom, they're gone. Like, you know, they gave you like a total of 2 seconds. That's a nice shot. That's what I expect to see. On to the next thing. Oh, what's that on the TV over there? Looks like, is that Tom Cruise talking? You know, you've lost them, right? No engagement whatsoever. So try it. Try it and let me know what you think. Okay, now you notice that I did something a little different this week. Normally, with the show, normally with the show. I'm following my own advice, only audio-wise this week. Normally, I introduce the show. I talk a little bit about what the theme is going to be, and then I do a little housekeeping, and then I get back to the theme. You notice I didn't do the housekeeping this week, right? I changed the angle a little bit. All right, now I don't know if you liked it or not. I don't even know if you noticed it or not, but I just thought that it was the right thing to do given the subject. So I do want to do just a hair bit of housekeeping here, and then I'm going to send you out there to take some pictures. I want to thank the folks at Boinks Software, B-O-I-N-X. They're totally behind this show, and you may not have noticed, but this is, I'll give you a little inside thing. Oliver has submitted two grab shots, and both of them have been really good. He did a snowy scene, and he did the Easter egg one that I just ran back a few days ago before Easter. And he had never submitted anything to the digital story or anything before. But he's actually the CEO of Boink Software. And when way back when I was talking to him about sponsorship of the show, he says, well, you know, I kind of enjoy photography and I like taking pictures too. And I'm a little new to it, but I'm having a lot of fun. And I said, well, you know, you ought to submit grab shots because they come from everyone. I mean, you know, it doesn't make any difference what your affiliation is or if you have no affiliation or what. It's all about the pictures. And he said, well, maybe I will. And he did. And I've liked his shots and I've actually run two of them. So that last shot that you saw with the Easter eggs, that is from the guy, right, who is responsible for the decision to sponsor the show. And I think that's just sort of cool because, I mean, he's just getting in there and, you know, firing up his camera just like the rest of us and participating. And that's what I mean. They're really behind this show and they're behind this site. And I just think it's really cool to have them on board. And speaking of grab shots, I just, again, really enjoying them. Keep them coming. I love these things, and hopefully I'll be able to run another couple this week. And now that you have all of this good compositional information, probably stuff you already knew, but it's good to, you know, kind of go back and do a few reminders. Now that you have this, go out and tackle that vertical photo assignment, and let's see what you get. All right. So have fun shooting. I'm looking forward to seeing what you're sending in, and I'll be talking at you next week. Okay. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.